Today, we have Eve Assad with us. She is a Nashville-based photographer and director specializing in automotive lifestyle, portraiture, and outdoor photography. She has a background in photojournalism and loves a good motorcycle adventure. Her clients include Infiniti, Subaru, Filson, Rolling Stone, and Billboard. We are so happy to have you on the show, Eve.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. And Ren, you've been a friend for a while. So good to see you. And Jen, it's so great to meet you. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to chat today.
This is going to be great. I mean, the premise of this episode, I mean, obviously we're going to start out because I am such a fan of your photography. So we have some questions about your work, but also wanted to primarily chat about career and motherhood on this episode, which I think is really important to all three of us now.
Yeah. So many people always ask us all the questions, so it'll be fun to dive in. But I guess before we talk about motherhood, I would love to know how you got into photography and, you know, like, how did that career start?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly started late. I wasn't like picking up cameras in high school or anything like that. I wasn't really around it except for, you know, my dad shot slide film, like when we went on trips and of the family and things like that. So I was exposed in that way. We always had slideshows growing up of like old road trips, which was like, you know, definitely like a bigger inspiration. Now that I'm older, I'm realizing it was a big inspiration throughout my life, like to travel. And also I think to start photographing my adventures and things like that. So I got to college. I thought I was going to be a chemistry major, which is laughable now, but I ended up going into photojournalism school. Yeah, it was such a good fit for me. I just love visual storytelling. And So I went into the newspaper route for several years, and the staff photography jobs started kind of falling by the wayside at that point. And so I went freelance, and that was kind of like the start of, you know, being, I guess, where I am now. But I love it. It's been a really great career for me. It's a good fit for me.
Did you actually get a chemistry major, or you realized like you started with that and then switched?
Yeah, I started with that and switched. I got to organic chemistry and quickly realized that I didn't want to study that. You know, it's like sometimes I'm like, I wonder what my life would have been like. But yeah, now I'm super happy I went the other route.
Because you were doing more photojournalism, like when do you feel like your career switched to be more in the commercial vein?
It was great because like when I went to journalism school, I was taught how to do some graphic design and production. And mm-hmm. So that's actually been super helpful in my just like doing treatments and stuff now. And so when those jobs became harder and harder to find, and being a freelance photojournalist was like harder and harder to make ends meet, I started picking up graphic design jobs and doing that for a little while. And so like I was actually able to like integrate some of my own photography mm-hmm. into projects. And it sort of was like an easy transition for me to do that because I was like still able to make money doing graphic design, and, you know, gave me time to also shoot still and kind of start to like build more of a commercial portfolio.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of your portfolio, I feel like your automotive work is just, I mean, honestly, all of your work is so incredible. I feel like you do such a good job of really taking in the environment that you're shooting in. I feel like that plays such a key visual to how you frame everything.
Oh, thank you.
But I'm super curious because I know you do a lot of automotive stuff, and I'm assuming that it's not the most common to be a woman in that kind of field. Is there any kind of like takeaways for shooting in that environment as a woman?
Yeah, it's been, you know, I started because I got into motorcycle photography. I, you know, started riding. My husband was a big racing enthusiast and rider himself. And so when we met, it was like, we just started like diving into shooting a lot of racing together, which was really, really fun for a couple of years. And I quickly realized that like, I didn't want to do that for the rest of my career. And so, you know, starting to like, and I started getting asked by like some of the manufacturers to do other types of work, whether it was like commercial or, you know, whatever, advertising. And then, yeah, I think going into car, like shooting more cars, it was kind of like a necessity almost, because motorcycle photography, there's just not like a ton of work, I guess. And so, mm-hmm. and I also, it's such a passion of mine. I didn't want to like stress the passion. So, I mean, I don't know. That sounds ridiculous.
No, but that's so, like, I mean, that's so valid. I feel like if you shoot anything that you really love, eventually you're not going to love it as much.
Yeah. I started to kind of get like a little burned out from shooting it. And I love shooting two wheels and will always love it. But I, you know, I didn't want it to be the only thing that I shot. And so, but yeah, the point is that there aren't that many women that shoot cars and motorcycles. And, you know, I just have always loved sheet metal. And, you know, I love shooting people interacting with the machine. Like that's mm-hmm. my personal passion. Like I love the machine, but like and I see the beauty in it, but like I love like the lifestyle part of it. I think that's like really key for me. And there's more beauty in that than just like seeing just the machine. But yeah, I think I've always been treated so fairly with, you know, being in this industry and shooting in this industry. I think that it's definitely, you know, there's a lot of men who shoot, but I've never felt like I couldn't do it or not supported enough to do it.
Have you ever been hired specifically because you were a female, like from a female perspective of the way you saw, you know, a car?
Yeah, I think that people like kind of like more feminine perspective sometimes on, you know, like more masculine subjects. I don't know that I necessarily offer an extremely feminine approach to
I don't think you do.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe the way that I like approach it is mm-hmm. is like a little bit different than some other people's, you know, approach. Right. So yeah, I think perhaps, yeah.
What's your take on living in a, like Nashville is obviously a smaller market compared to New York or LA or Chicago or whatever. Do you have any, because we have gotten email, like people have written in and been like, I live in this small city and I want to
shoot big things. Do I need to move to a big city?
Yeah. I think it's really easy to like feel like you have to live in New York or LA at this point, you know, to have like a successful photography career. I don't really prescribe to that. I think that it's so easy to like hop on a plane these days. And you know, we specifically kind of chose Nashville because it was like an easy place to travel from. And it's still close to our families and that sort of thing. So, you know, I know people who live, you know, there's photographers who live in the middle of Idaho who have amazingly successful careers. And, you know, you just have to, do what any of us have to do. You just have to hustle and get in front of people and like keep working and shooting the things that you want to shoot and build the portfolio that you want to be called for. So
I guess being said, for most of your bigger clients, are you pitching to them as if you could work as a local, or you've just always kind of considered yourself Nashville based and they've just hired you outright for that? Then you charge for all the travel and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate mostly the latter, like I've been able to travel, you know, I've even been able to like travel crew in if I needed to. I've got my first assistant is out of Nashville who, you know, I'm like really just, he's an amazing person and I love to work with him. He's super talented. So I think that it's been really, I've been fortunate. I mean, I have, of course, been asked to work as a local, and I will, you know, if I need to, but I typically haven't had to, I think. Yeah. So,
well, I guess is a good segue to, I think you've had an agent in the past, and I'm not sure if you're flying solo now or not, but how much of that do you think has played into having an agent, or it's all just been Eve's greatest hustle.
And to go off of that, because I was going to ask, how does someone in exam, for example, in the middle of Idaho, get their work in front of, you know, New York or LA based agencies outside of emailing? Obviously, you can do that from anywhere. But so is having an agent in a smaller market something that you find to be really important, or is it just kind of what you can do on your own and everyone just kind of has their own approach?
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about it. I think that you can be absolutely be successful without an agent. I see it with a lot of people. I mean, I have several friends in art rep, and you know, they work all the time and are doing, you know, big commercial jobs. And, you know, it's just, it really kind of depends on like what you want your path to look like. And personally, like I've had an agent, and you know, I'm actually like in the process of like kind of interviewing agents right now and, you know, going through that whole process. And I've been really, really like kind of slow and thoughtful about it this time, because I think it's important to like find the person that you want to be with. It's mm-hmm. a marriage, you know, like totally. You really want to make sure that your personalities fit, that your, you know, that your approach on like work fits, that your quality of life is like respected, you know, like I have a family now and, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, you kind of have to like have the same perspective on a lot of different things, and finding that is, you know, but it's also a business. Like it's 50-50, like you're both hustling equally, and it doesn't ever mean that the photographer director can just stop working right. or hustling. Like you have to continue that, that push. I mean, it's just as part of it, which is like, it's hard. You guys know that it can be really hard. And so I think, yeah, finding the person that you want to like be talking to several times a week and make sure that you're aligned is like really important. So I'm going through that right now, but Nashville is actually like not that small of a market anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, we are having more and more production here. We have a great production community. It's a really great place to shoot actually. And so I think that more and more it's just a kind of about like what you're willing to do in terms of like marketing and like pushing yourself out there, you know, mm-hmm. and a lot of people it's hard. I mean, it's not their strong suit to like self promote. So I get that. It's not easy for me either, but, I kind of approach it as like, you know, just getting out there and like meeting people. I love meeting people anyway. Like I just, you know, and hopefully like a friendship will come out of it and like a great work relationship and we can collaborate on something really fun. Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you if you traveled to cities just to do meetings, just to meet people face to face.
Yeah, I do. I think that's really important. It is. I think, you know, I try to do it like once or twice a year.
Oh, cool. Do you do portfolio reviews, like that sort of thing?
I do. I haven't done them in probably like three, like since before the COVID.
Pandemic, yeah. Yeah.
I definitely recommend them if it's like the right one. I mean, it can be like speed dating. And so yeah. sometimes yeah. it feels like you're just like in and out and you barely even got to talk. But yeah, I think there are some portfolio reviews that are really effective.
Do you have any recommendations for listeners that might just be thinking about pursuing an agent, how to even start having a conversation with someone that they might be interested in?
Yeah, I mean, my biggest piece of advice, I mean, and this is so fresh because I'm going through it right now, is that you don't want to react impulsively. Like if an agent approaches you and, you know, sometimes like they can be like can apply pressure and make you feel like you have to like sign a contract right the second. And don't ever feel like that. Like, don't feel like you have to like do anything right the second. It's not, they will be there if, you know, if it's a right fit and they want you mm-hmm. and you want them, like they'll be there. I think you just have to, I think it's important to like talk to as many as you can. It's kind of like dating.
Totally.
Yeah, like I've really, it's been important to me to like meet as many as I can this time, because it's really helped helped me learn like what I really want.
Right.
Because I kind of initially went into this time thinking that I wanted to be on a smaller roster. Now I'm thinking differently. So just never really know like where you're you're gonna end up being. So.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like I have had two agents, and when I signed with a first agent, I didn't know what I wanted. I kind of had just like a general idea of what an agent did. And then from that experience, it really helped shape what I looked for. Like, I didn't realize what was important to me until it was in front of me. You know, it's just like, oh, okay, this works. This doesn't work. I want to look for this.
I'm curious why you feel like, what made you switch to wanting a larger agent?
That's a good question. I think they have more resources. Mm-hmm. And I think there's more bandwidth to like do like more outreach. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ren and I talk about this all the time because I'm at a bigger agent and they do so many different things. And yeah, when I talk to Ren, it's like there is somebody in-house that just does design. And if I'm on set and I need help on a treatment, they can do that. Where Ren, I mean, you sort of have somebody too, but it's one person.
Yeah. And my person acknowledges like what she can and cannot offer as an agent. Obviously, she's not presenting herself as like this big agency that has a huge staff. So I hope you find someone that's a perfect fit. And I feel like all of the stuff that you said is so true, because we've gotten a few emails from people. And I do think in the beginning, it seems like, and I'm guilty of it too, you kind of rush into, you get so excited to have an agent that you can really rush into it. Mm-hmm. And your advice of just taking reading all the contracts, not responding in the next day to a week, take 2 weeks, is just about having the communication and time to think. Because once you're committed, you know, it's like with marriage, you could always break up, but a divorce is like fairly complicated.
Yeah.
So you want to make a good decision before you potentially start down that road.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's such a good way to say it. And I think, you know, like maybe we have the same kind of experience, but like with my first agent, I felt like a lack of experience in that department. Like I didn't really like know what that relationship looked like and what I needed. And now I'm like very sure of what I need. And, you know, instead of like impulsively deciding, you know, I'm like, yeah, this is exciting. Like I know what I value, what my value is, like, and I'm ready to have this partnership for the rest of my career.
Yeah, no, for sure. this is like kind of a silly analogy, but back to dating, I just feel like in your 20s, you date for a long time before maybe you decide to settle down and get married. And by the time you're in your 30s or 40s or whatever, like you've had enough relationships where you're like, I know exactly what I want and I don't want. And you could just jump into that more committed relationship much faster because you have a better understanding.
Yeah, absolutely. I got some funny advice from my dad after like my second major relationship in my 20s. He was like, Eve, you have got to like date some different people, like as many people as you possibly can, and like figure out what you want, because like you just haven't like had any experience.
Right.
So I kind of applied the same.
Yeah, it's so true.
Theory, but yeah, it's been helpful.
Amazing. Well, segueing into, because you mentioned finding someone that understands and respects your home life boundaries and things like that. Segueing into motherhood, I have so many questions, I guess, for both of you. Obviously, you guys are both moms. I'm going to be a mom soon for the first time. I'm super excited.
Yay, yeah.
Thank
so
you.
So happy for you.
I know. It's going to be crazy. But I mean, I've voiced a lot of these concerns before in some of our other episodes, and just everyone's journey to becoming a parent is super different. Some people have a lot of time to plan, some people don't. Before deciding to start a family, did you ever go through the stage where you weighed pros and cons of having the family and how it would impact your career? Did it have any sort of effect on any decisions that you made?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a good question and kind of a hard question, because I think that, you know, we all like I'm a planner, and yeah. I think that, you know, like having consistency in my life is important. I'm not a super spontaneous person.
Right.
But I guess another word for that is control freak.
I don't think I realized how much of a control freak I was until I had a baby, though, to be honest.
Okay.
So
totally. No, but I, you know, my husband and I tried to get pregnant for a long time. And, you know, at the point where we finally did, and, you know, such a blessing, we were able to, like, even though, you know, I was older than anticipated, it was like actually the perfect time to mm-hmm. have a child. And I think, you know, you feel like you feel a little out of control when you have a child, and like you're not sure what their sleep schedule is going to be like or what childcare is going to look like. And it can be, you know, it can be kind of a trial, trial and error, but you know, ultimately, like it all happened, I think, at the right time. I never based my career around having children. Like it wasn't, I kind of knew that everything would fall into place and be where I guess I needed. I mean, and you have to really be able to pivot and make adjustments during times, because I mean, I went back to work at 3 months postpartum, and I took my daughter and my husband on the first shoot for 3 weeks in Seattle. And it was you just kind of do what you have to do. But I mean, I don't know. We're actually pregnant again. And yay.
I was going to also ask, could you tell us how old your first is?
Yeah. So my first is 18 months. And they'll be about two years apart. So,
oh my gosh.
I don't know what this is going to look like. I mean, I think, you know, having extra help is definitely in order.
I was going to ask if there were anything that you did to set yourself up, like once you were pregnant, you're like, okay, I'm having a baby in 9 months. Or is it 10? I don't really know. That whole schedule thing is very confusing.
9-ish, 10 months.
Having a baby in X amount of weeks, yeah, 9 to 10 months. Is there anything that you did to get your career ready to essentially take a 3-month break?
You know, honestly, I didn't really do anything differently, which I'm realizing now, you know, back to like that agent. Mm-hmm. Artist 50-50 push, like, and drive. It's like my drive, you know, slowed down because I was like adjusting to becoming a new mother. And, you know, I think leading up to it, I probably like started to let that slow down as well a little bit. And mm-hmm. so I felt that a little bit, but I also like have been really grateful. I mean, it's been nice to have like a little bit of extra time with my daughter. Like this year was steady, but like a little slower than it has been. And like, it was okay. Like we all probably wonder when our next job is coming. Are we gonna work next? But you know, like it was okay because I got to put that time towards having it with my daughter. If you want your career, if you're a mother and you're pregnant and you want your career just to like keep going gangbusters, like you just can't slow down. I don't think you can. That is my personal feeling. I think you have to continue the momentum, and like you can't rely on your agent to continue doing that for you.
So did you take, did you tell anybody or did you tell clients that you were pregnant? And then two, did you like actually even set up any sort of mindset on a maternity leave for yourself?
Yeah, because just so you know, I'm at the stage right now at 25 weeks where I'm still just don't mention it to anyone and then surprise when I'm on set.
Yeah, I definitely did not tell anybody. And there was even jobs that actually Ren, I talk about this all the time because Ren and I, my job got canceled and they were trying to postpone it 2 weeks, but it was right before my due date. And I'm like, I don't know if I can actually do this. So I had to say, I just said I was unavailable. They didn't know
why,
but it was because I was about to have a baby.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I think that it's a hard position to be in. it's mm-hmm. such a gift to like have a child, and like, and I actually love being pregnant, like maybe a little less this time. Yeah, it's a little harder with a toddler, but I think that it's, you know, it is like a beautiful thing to be able to like carry and have a baby. And, you know, I think a lot of people, even though you might be worried about what they think, whether it's creative or an agency producer or whoever, like, are going to be super excited for you. And mm-hmm. last time I did not tell anybody. Mm-hmm. And I was in the same boat as you guys. And I just, this time I'm like, screw it. I'm going to tell people. Cause like, I get calls and I can't just be like, I've worked with a lot of these people for so long. Right. Like, I can't just tell them I'm not available. And so I've been really candid about it this time. I mean, not that I'm like blasting it all over the world, yeah. but I'm selective, but it's a weird position to be in. And I think it's unfortunate that we feel like we kind of have to hide it a little bit because, mm-hmm. you know, it's important. I mean, mothers are badasses. Yeah. And I'm not afraid to like say that as one, but like we have to do a lot yeah. and mm-hmm. we have to juggle a lot and we have to, you know, like be present for our children. And like, also if you're working, you have to be present for work. And, you know, it's hard. It's definitely not like an easy task, but it's also so rewarding. And yeah. I would never take it back or substitute it for anything else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so inspiring.
I think in our age now and the kinds of people we work with, I definitely think that it's probably fine that no one, you know, they're not going to not hire you. I mean, obviously, if you're not available, that's a different story. But yeah. I just think a lot of that is also in our head. And it is unfortunate that it's like that. But
yeah, I mean, I think the experience that I've been having is now because I just did a location shoot and I did it and I did a great job, but I definitely internally was struggling with just like my mobility, and I really had to push myself harder than I would have if I wasn't pregnant. And luckily, though, it's the end of the year, so things are starting to wind down. But my agent just asked me, you know, how I felt about putting a hold like for a specific client a month before my due date. And I was like, totally fine. But, you know, is it a location job or is it a studio job? Because if it's a studio job, like no hesitation whatsoever. If it's a location job based on this current shoot that I had in 2 months, like it might be harder for me. And that's just a decision that I'll have to make once we have more information, which kind of stinks.
Do you feel like, though, it would be hard for you either way, or is it something that you could hire additional support for said shoot to make your job somehow easier? Just out of curiosity, because I feel like there's been a lot of conversation now too, just about women in the workforce. And, you know, let's say you have a regular job, like a CEO, and part of their job is to like fly places. Like I've heard where it's mm-hmm. like, you know, they hire a nanny and like the company will hire a nanny for them to travel together. But just kind of thinking about, I think the argument is that these companies need to take on that responsibility to kind of help us do our roles kind of thing.
I mean, I think my answer might be much different than Eve's. For me, like at what made this job difficult was literally because location is a lot more, you're more flexible with how you're shooting. There's all these different angles. There were certain angles that I could feel my body struggling getting. And I was like, okay, I have to like figure out how to get into this position. Like, I just need an extra minute or two and, you know, get like a sound blanket down there, whatever. It was literally just around the mobility mm-hmm. part. It wasn't around like my mental state or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, it gets, you know, definitely gets to be more challenging, like the bigger you get, further along mm-hmm. you are. And no, I totally feel that. And it's, I mean, you're lucky because you have a lot of studio opportunities.
Like, right, you're on location all the time.
Mm-hmm. I might shoot like one or two studio shoots a year. I mean, it's really, really small, but I definitely think that you have to adjust, and having a crew that's there to support you. And like, mm-hmm. you know, also like one of my shoots last pregnancy was shooting like a big Western scenario, like with the like 50 horses and like 25 cowboys and like, you know, just having people there that know that you're pregnant. You don't have to like blast it out if you don't want to, but like them knowing that you are and like them supporting you and making sure that like you have what you need is absolutely crucial.
Right. So maybe you're not riding a horse, but you're riding in a truck alongside the horse kind of thing.
Yeah. And like, obviously, you know, like as an automotive photographer, like I'm not going to be able to get onto the back of a camera car and, you know, harnessed.
Right. That's so funny. I would totally still do that as long as I was all secured in.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that, you know, I get on my stomach a lot for when I'm shooting.
Right.
And like, you can't really do that. And so like, you just have to find ways around it. And yeah, I mean, it kind of, you make it work.
Yeah. I will have to say, I have been so grateful for the crews. Like everyone's just been so like everyone's just trying to pick up slack for me that I don't even need picked up. I'm just like, I can still pick up my camera, people. Like, yeah. I can still move my tripod. Like, it's not a big deal. But everyone's just been just like overly supportive. And I've been surprised. I don't know what I was expecting, but I don't think I was expecting that.
Yeah. I mean, I think the kindness that comes out just in a general way, like whether you're on a sheet or at the grocery store, like is so amazing. I'm like the humanity of it all, like people just, they're helpful and they're kind and it's awesome.
Yeah. People love babies.
Yeah.
And life. I mean, I feel like you kind of touched on it in general, but have there been any just super noticeable changes to your work and career commitments now that you have one child and soon two?
Yeah, it's been a transition in the biggest way for me, I think, with childcare, like figuring out childcare. It's, you know, to keep the momentum going that you need to have this type of career, it's, you know, important to like be focused and, you know, like whether you're at home or at your office, like you need to be able to like sit down and work for periods of time and take calls or Zooms or whatever. And so that initially was like the most challenging, and my husband is freelance, and so we kind of went into it thinking like, okay, we're gonna just kind of figure, you know,
like piggyback off each other kind of.
Yeah, exactly. And so we made that work, and then like when your child starts to move around a lot, it's like a different situation. So yeah, we have help now. My daughter is also in daycare 2 days a week. We've like figured out some good kind of ways to still be active in our child's life, but also like maintain a career. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Going into the second one, I think like we'll probably have to hire more help to maintain like this level. And it kind of gets to be a point where, Jen, I don't know what your situation looks like, but like it kind of gets to be a point where, you know, you might feel like, okay, am I going to be like completely out of my child's life? Like how much is somebody else going to be taking care of my child, you know?
Yeah.
And that is hard. You know, you definitely like mom guilt's a real thing. But I think that you kind of just have to remember like what you're doing and what makes you happy. I love my work. I love coming home from a shoot and feeling like, you know, I had a great creative experience and like collaborative experience with all these talented people. And so it's just a balance, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I have the utmost respect for women who are full-time moms.
Yeah. I could not do it.
But yeah, it's just like, what do you want in your life? And you just have to kind of, I feel like you do kind of have to plan for that, you know, especially like if you're going to have more than one child.
I will tell this to both of you, but I feel like somehow, I mean, not that I don't have mom guilt, but I think the time away from my daughter actually helps me be a better mom. And I think you have to, I think especially in the beginning, you know, obviously those times are, they grow so fast, the time goes really by really fast, but also the time away that you can kind of, you know, exercise that creative brain of yours that you always loved, I think that helps at home. So I think, you know, I think especially in our line of work, I think Eve, you probably travel more frequently and you're probably away more than, you know, Ren and I probably are now. But, you know, I think when I first started traveling after I had my daughter, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. As long as my husband was set up and I was just gone for 2 to 3 days, I really just took it sort of like a mini vacation away too. You know, obviously I miss my family, but it's like, in a way, it was like just a mini vacation to just reset and do everything I wanted to do on my own and then come back to the chaos.
I actually had a funny experience. Like, I think it was like my third or fourth shoot back. And I was out in California and I was like walking down the street and I had my AirPods on and I was just like listening to music, just walking down the street, like, you know, and by myself. And I was like, wow, I haven't felt what this feels like, even though the simplicity of it is so kind of silly to think about. But I just really had to soak that moment up. And I was like, God, this is so nice to just like have my hands free. Like, I'm listening to music, like good music. And it was like a really nice little space.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like I tell my husband when I am on like a shoot away from home, I go out and eat at like 5 o'clock, or if we wrap early enough, anyways, I'm going to the restaurant, like directly to the restaurant. And I'm just sitting down by myself at like a fancy restaurant because it's just, I mean, we take our daughter out a lot, but we haven't taken her to like, you know, a super nice restaurant yet. But it's just nice to eat alone without someone, you know,
yeah.
Something happening or being someone being unhappy or whatever. So I definitely line up some help in any way, but also just remembering the time away is good for your soul.
Yeah, no, I can't stress that enough. And again, like if you're a full-time mom, like it's the hugest props to you for doing that. It is the biggest, hardest probably job in the world. Yes. Like, you really don't get any breaks. And so, you know, I kind of look at like being able to work and have children. It's, I don't know, like for lack of a better word, it's like kind of a luxury. Like I love to be able to like still do what I love for work and also like have the opportunity to like be somebody's mama. So, and I think that like when I'm on set, I feel more focused than I have ever before. I feel like I'm doing better work now that I'm a mom and I know what I'm there to do. I'm really prepped, and I do a lot of preparation in advance, and it feels just, yeah, it feels like I'm more focused when I'm on set now.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask if being a mom has changed your approach to bidding or production or just how you carry yourself on set.
Yeah, I mean, I think I go into it thinking like I'm taking this time away from my daughter and I need to make it count. So yeah. Like whatever I can do in advance or while I'm there to like make it go as seamlessly as possible and as well as possible. And, you know, of course, like we all go on to set like wanting to crush it. Just having like being ready for it and focused, I think is really important. You just want to walk away like knowing that you did something worthwhile because, you know, like you've got this little awesome kid at home that's like pretty great too. And so to like spend time away from her or him, it's like, you know, you want to make it count.
Have you found yourself making any extra boundaries or anything? I know in production, obviously everyone tries to have some sort of separation between work and personal time. Like in the evenings, I really make an effort to not respond to emails unless it's an emergency. But I imagine you probably have to set really clear boundaries.
Yeah, I mean, I think like this industry and our way of life is so fluid, it's kind of hard to set a hard boundary. But I definitely try not to be, like I try to be as present as possible when I'm with her as I can, because I think that especially now that she's a little older, like she's aware of, you know, if I'm not paying attention to her or interacting with her.
All right.
Yeah. So, aww. I mean, before when they're like babies, you can kind of, I mean, I right. did my first, like I had my first shoot back at 3 months. Like I did a treatment with her on my lap. She was like a month old.
Yeah. Well,
that's amazing.
I was going to ask you how that mental shift was for you, because I know for me, being a mom really changed me. And just creatively, the first year and a half to 2 years was like really hard. Really, really hard. So I guess just curious to know like how that mental shift was for you. Also, it doesn't sound like you really ever took any hard like time off. I mean, I guess I also did. I also went back at 3 months. But I felt like for us, we could be flexible in what we take. And when I did go back, I mean, my shoot was a 2-day shoot. So it was like, oh, I went back for 2 days and then I just went back to, you know, quote unquote maternity leave or whatever until my next job kind of. But yeah, how was like the mental shift for you if there was any change? And like, how did you kind of, if you have any advice specifically for new moms?
Yeah, I mean, it is such a mental shift. I think you really have to be, you know, I think as women, and I might get some flack for saying this, but like, I think as women, like women are really good multitaskers. And mm-hmm. like when you become a mom, you're like the multitasking boss. Like you just have to, like it's out of necessity. Like you have to be thinking ahead. You have to be thinking, you know, like sideways and behind, like, I mean, literally like all the ways. And so it's just, there's a lot to think about being a mom just by on its own, but then like juggling a career with that, you know, like thinking because of, you know, being a freelance creative, like you're thinking about the future as well. And so, you know, like going into a 3-week photo shoot or whatever that looks like, and you're traveling with your kid, like, what do I need for her to sleep in? But also like, what is my, you know, like, what is this day on set going to look like? So like you're working your ass off. Like it's a lot of energy and it's hard, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but you know, like you just do it. And it like, it's actually, to me, it was really fulfilling. I mean, it was like, there are days where I felt like I was running a marathon. I mean, I still feel like I'm running a marathon every single day, but it was like, especially those first few months, like you like put your head down and you like get it done. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the day, like you're so tired and you're just like, I deserve the sleep so much. but yeah, you have to, you know, having a good partner is key, or good help is key. I mean, I think, you know, shout out to all the single moms out there. Like, I don't know how you do it.
I think about this often. Like, how do
you
do
it? Really
don't.
I mean, I think, you know, I think about it a lot too. And I'm just like so grateful that there are people out there that like can maintain that mm-hmm. level of energy, like just by themselves. Cause I don't know that I could do it, but yeah, it's, you do what you have to do.
I would love to hear about your first shoot back with your child. Did you bring her on set? Did you like feed her on set and husband? Like, how was that? I definitely had an opportunity. And I mean, also I had my daughter during pandemic. So I was kind of like, I don't know if I can do, I don't know if I can do this. So I didn't actually end up traveling early on, but I'm curious to hear about your experience and what that was like.
Yeah. So I think I was like a month postpartum and I got a call basically with like my dream shoot. It was an automotive shoot. And it was a client I had worked with before, one of my favorite clients. And I was like, gosh, you know, like, am I ready for this? And it was, you know, after going through their deck, I was just like, oh my God, this is like so like everything that I could ever dream of. And so I bid on it, and yeah, everything, you know, obviously went through, and thankfully. And that was kind of like the whole other part where you're just like, okay, so how am I gonna handle like a 3-week shoot out of town with my family, like with my newborn baby, and like having to, you know, kind of adapt to like a different time change and all these things and feed her. And so my husband is a freelance, is in freelance. And so he was thankfully able to like give up basically like a month and come with me, which I mean, I couldn't have done it without him. And then I hired like some nighttime help when I was there just so I could sleep. And so I pumped when I was on set as discreetly as possible. You know, like automotive world, there's a lot of men in that shoot. And so like, I didn't ever want like any of the creatives or the client to feel like I was taking time away or like not doing what I was supposed to be doing. It was like my biggest concern of like being on set.
Did they know that you were 3 months postpartum?
Yeah. Yeah. And so they, you know, I don't think anybody really knew that I was doing it. I had a great producer and production, just a production crew like around me to like help me kind of like move fluidly through that process. Like I would basically just like choose breaks in between shots and I knew like the required setup or rigging or whatever. And, you know, take that 15 minutes and like hustle to the minivan or like upstairs to like at a random house or like whatever that looked like and just pumped. And it all like somehow worked out. I mean, I like, we all survived and came out better for it. Like it was a great, great shoot. And I felt so good, like after being on set every day. And then like at the end of the shoot, I felt really, really like great about what we got and what we accomplished. And it was, I mean, it was, you know, Audrey was like 3.5 months old and such a trooper. It was her first flight. And she, you know, she loved it. She actually like thrived being out because we live out in the country. Like we don't really see a lot of people. And I don't think she had seen that. Like, we got to the airport and she was just like wide-eyed and so excited. And, you know, she got to like walk around to like actual neighborhood when we were there with my husband and go on a ferry ride and like do, you know, things that she wouldn't have normally done. So yeah, it was, I think it was a good, it was also like, I think a good bonding experience for them. And it was a good way for me to like, as a new mom, kind of release the reins of like, you know, just making sure everything was okay and like being super hyper, you know, hyper vigilant all the time. And like, it gave me a break from that sort of mindset because it, that part of being a new mom is taxing. At least it was for me. It kind of like, I had anxiety postpartum a little bit. And so, you know, it's just like, it was a great break for me just to kind of like, get back to using my creative brain and like being around adults and, you know, having like giving my husband a chance to like really, really bond with her as well. Not giving him, but like, you know, just they were able to. So
yeah.
Did they ever visit you on set?
Yeah. I think both of us kind of felt like, is this appropriate? So, like we didn't want to overdo it. I mean, I think they came to set like maybe 2 or 3 times.
But they knew, did they know your family flew out there with you?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like in their days, like there was a day that we had to scout the location for the next couple of days and they came out for that and it was like a little more casual. But yeah, it was, for the most part, I tried to stay as like buttoned up as possible.
I mean, you made that sound so easy though. I'm like, I feel like you need to elaborate a little bit on how hard it was, or maybe it was easy to find a night nanny.
Right.
All the things like pumping for me on the first day was for on set was so hard, but I also had a lot of a really hard time pumping. I just like couldn't get any milk from pumping. And yeah, every time I was on set, I was always, when I was on set, I was like, oh my gosh, it's about to be 3 hours and I need to go pump. I was also terrified of getting mastitis, which is basically like a clogged duct in your boob. Yeah, when I was in the bathroom, I'm thinking about being on set. When I'm on set, I'm like, oh my God, need to go pump. It was very stressful for me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel you. I was absolutely feeling all of those things too. And I'm sorry if I was like sugarcoating it a little bit. I think in hindsight, like after everything was said and done, I was like, yes, I did it. It was such a feeling of accomplishment. And so like, that's kind of where I'm coming from. But like, absolutely, like leading up to it, there are so many moving parts to moving my family to a different town for 3 weeks. And like I was in charge of that, you know, like I think like mom, you don't like, people don't realize like how much moms have to think about. And I'm not saying like there are fathers out there that can do that too, like really well. But I think typically the mom is like tasked with like the feedings and like the sleepings and like all, you know, all those things. And so like, you don't really, when you go back to work, like, that doesn't go away. And so like, especially going back to set, you know, on location, like thinking about, you know, like I called I called my lactation consultant. She was amazing. I probably called her like 1,000 times. Like, how much now? Like, how many bottles do I need to take? And, like, what do I need to do? Like, how much does she need to eat? So, like, that was really helpful. I would definitely recommend, like, just, you know, working with a lactation consultant if you're like worried about, you know, kind of, or how to handle that part of it. That was extremely helpful for me. And also like transporting it. Oh my gosh. Like, cause I had saved up so much frozen milk and I was like, how am I going to take it out to Seattle? I mean, that trip from my house door to door, I think was like 8 to 10 hours. And I was like, oh my God, all this hard work. Like, milk is gold. You're just like if I lose a drop, like I'm going to freak out. And so, you know, we had to figure out how we were going to transport frozen milk and like how that was going to go through security and all these things you have to think about. By the way, if you need to do that, get a Yeti cooler. Because that worked.
You check it or you carry it?
Let you carry breast milk on a plane.
Yeah. There's also a service. I can't remember what it's called.
There is a service, but I was too nervous to use it. Like, I just, again, control freaky over here, but I was like, I just don't want anybody to touch it. I didn't want anybody to like handle it.
I hear that.
Yeah. And then, having a night nanny, like, I mean, that was clutch, but it took a long time to like interview them and like make sure that I could trust. I mean, I remember the first night I was like, the stranger is going to steal my baby.
Oh my God.
That was terrifying. And it was like, it was really stressful, but then you just like get into the groove. And after you go through like a day or two of all of these things and like you're in a new place and like your baby's sleeping in a new bedroom and like, oh gosh, and our crib didn't arrive until like 3 days later.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was just like, there's a lot of moving parts. And so like you do the best you can and everybody will survive. Yeah. Take deep breaths.
Just out of curiosity, because the production knew you were bringing your family, did they offer to assist in any of that stuff?
No. Mm-hmm. I did everything myself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately, you have to do it yourself.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think I have been on a couple of sets where I mentioned, you know, that I had to, you know, feed or whatever. And the producers have been very accommodating or like, you know, trying to help, you know, the liaison or whatever they could kind of thing. So I was just curious if that production did or not.
Yeah. Now I had an amazing first AD on that shoot and her name's Krizia. She's like my sister after everything was said and done, but she really, really helped me like manage my time and make sure that I was pumping and, you know, just like, she was like a sister to me on set. That's so amazing. Kept me honest with everything and helped me do great work, but also like helped me make sure I was feeding my child.
I feel like you just blew my mind.
You ready, Bren?
I don't know if I'll be taking a month travel job right after, but that's insane that you were able to pull it off. It just sounds like, I honestly am exhausted just listening to it.
I think in the beginning, my anxiety too was just so high. Like, if I had to travel.
I think also the biggest thing for me, like I'm currently feeling sleep deprived and I don't even have a child. I'm just getting up to, I'm so uncomfortable sleeping and I'm getting up to pee all the time that doing a job on that of that scale. Well, I mean, you did say you had a night nurse, but you still have to, the night nurse still like wakes you up to feed and stuff, right? So you're performing on an insanely high level with like incremental sleep for a long time.
Yeah, having a night nurse was it was like more peace of mind. They were there all night. And let me just preface this all by saying having a night nanny is not cheap. Mm-hmm. Like at the end of the day, I was like, holy crap, like I'm gonna spend so much of my fee on childcare. But like, you know, it was so worth it to me because again, like this was such a dream project. And I think looking back, like having that experience like on this next run is gonna help me greatly because it's like it's not gonna be as stressful. It's like I've already kind of written the handbook for myself. So it was so hard. the first time. And it's very stressful, so stressful. But I, you know, I think like you kind of, you just like, you just have to do it and trust that like there are good people in the world to like take care, help you take care of your children.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, sure. I definitely think that was like a good first thing to make you be like, I can do anything.
I know. What a way to like kickstart.
You're like, ending maternity. I can do anything that I possibly can because yeah. you did all that stuff.
No, it really was like, I mean, I couldn't have picked like a more challenging situation like first time. But yeah, it was, I mean, I'm glad I did it because it just like, it basically cracked that door open and made it so I could like, you know, any other shoot after that, I was like, this is
walk in the park.
Yeah, walk in the park.
Are you more selective with the types of shoots that you take now as a mom?
I wouldn't say so. I think, you know, for the most part, I'm pretty much the same as I was before. I don't really feel like I can be super selective, and nor do I ever feel like I'm getting approached with jobs that I don't really want, which mm-hmm. I think I'm grateful for. So, you know, like our industry kind of seems like it's in a weird place. A little bit. Yeah. And so like I, you know, trying to like be choosy is, you know, I want to work as much as possible and like make a living for my family. And mm-hmm. I try to find the fun and the beauty in like every shoot that I do, even if it's not like the sexiest thing on earth.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I feel like I have a million more questions, but I also don't want to keep you from your fam.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have any words of wisdom for me as I enter motherhood for the first time? I mean, I don't feel freaked out anymore. I think when I first started thinking about having a family, I was just like, my career is going to end and like momentum's going to die and blah, blah, blah. But then it ended up taking so long that I do feel like my priorities shifted in a good way. I think they shifted in a more balanced way, not just with family, but with life and things like that. So I do feel less freaked out. But if you have any words of wisdom, I will take them.
I'm so thrilled for you and like any one who chooses to be a mother. I mean, you know, it's such a big choice, and it's really one of those things that like I felt so much comfort in talking to other mothers. Mm-hmm. And so I really like appreciate that you guys are doing this because I think it's, you know, we can't, none of us can compare what we do day to day with each other, but mm-hmm. like there are certain experiences that we have in common. And so having, you know, not having a handbook is always scary.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's not really a handbook for life. And so you just kind of have to like get as much experience from other people, as much advice as you can. And just like trust that you know what you're doing. I mean, I think the maternal instinct is so mm-hmm. powerful. And just trust that whatever you're going to do, like you're making the right decision.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. I like that too.
Yeah. And take a lot of deep breaths because it is stressful. I mean, seriously, like I think if you're feeling like your head's about to explode, like you don't have any more time in the day, or you're, you know, you're just leveraged to the ultimate, to the max, it's like you have to just sit back and soak in the fact that like you just brought a child into the world. Like that's no small feat, you know.
Right.
and just enjoy every second of it.
Oh wow. Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's gonna be amazing. I'm so happy for you.
I mean, and it is so great to, like you said, to talk to other moms that have done this. And I mean, I always thought that women were badass, but now just even in the pregnancy part, I'm like, man,
yeah,
women can do anything. Yeah. Like, because yeah. It's like a double, it feels like a whole other physically demanding job to create a little baby.
Yes,
it is.
And I had no idea. like at all.
And I feel like you're just getting a taste of it because this part is not the hard part.
I know. I'm not even, I haven't even made a dent yet.
It's amazing that women did what they've done in the past without the resources that we've had.
Exactly.
You know, and like, especially even just, I mean, I don't know, like think about like the 80s, like when there was no internet, like what your, like, how did you even like, unless you had a group of moms or community that was surrounding you, like, how did you know what to do? And if you were working, like, how did you know how to handle that? And
right.
I mean, we're really fortunate that people like you are like taking the time to talk about this. And, you know, because I mean, I went into it, I mean, I try to talk to as many people as possible, but there wasn't a podcast for me to listen to about working photography mothers. And like, so yeah, so cheers to you guys for doing this. I think hopefully my perspective is somewhat helpful to people.
Thank you so much, Eve. Yeah, it was so nice talking and learning more about you and your journey.
We'll have to do a follow-up once you're back in the game. Be like, how is it with two?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would love to do it again. You guys are great. Thank you so much for having me on.
If you'd like to support this podcast, you can buy us a coffee or become a member. Links to support in show notes.
Photodump was created by Ren Fuller and Jennifer Chong. Edited by Aviv Rubenstein. Music by Daniel Smith. You can find us on Instagram at photodump.club.
Thanks for listening.